Good afternoon, Peterborough. My name is Evan Robbins, Trent Radio's full-time broadcast journalist through the Local Journalism Initiative, and you are listening to Switchboard, the show which keeps you plugged into all of the news and people of note in the place at the end of the rapids. Let me redo that. We are broadcasting to you through the facilities of Trent Radio, CFFF 92.7 FM in Peterborough, Ngozuanong, and the surrounding area. We have a guest again this week. We're back in studio, broadcasting live to you for the first time in a couple of weeks. I did a pre-record last week and did a news recap show the week before that, so it's nice to be back in the studio, be back talking to someone. My guest for this week is a longtime member of the Peterborough independent media ecosystem. He's perhaps best known for co-founding the local independent news website, Peterborough Currents, though before that, he's contributed from everywhere, from TVO to such vaunted local publications as Arthur. As of now, he is assistant editor at the Narwhal, but he's here to talk to me today about a project considerably closer to home, Will Pearson. Welcome to Switchboard.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. Will, I want to say one of the things that I admire about you is you are a person who just does things. You have a very sort of carpe diem spirit. Everything from learning to skateboard to just, you know, I getting involved in local theater. You have a myriad talents and a myriad interests, and you pursue them unashamedly and wholeheartedly. And I think that this project that I'm here to talk to you about today is a sort of testimony to that fact. So tell me a little bit about the Peterborough Summer 1976 retrospective that you are doing with Trent Valley Archives.
Sure. It is a photo exhibit of archival photos from the Trent Valley Archives collection. Trent Valley Archives is a community-run archive on Carnegie Road, so it's actually just outside of town. If you're going out towards the zoo, you turn left on Carnegie Road, you'll get to it a few minutes after that. And I have been volunteering there for the last couple of years, scanning old negatives from the Peterborough Examiner. The Trent Valley Archives is the current custodian of a lot of Peterborough Examiner records, including decades worth of 35 millimeter film negatives. And so I just got curious about them a couple of years ago, noticed that they were mostly not being used, or like people weren't really looking into them and sharing them that much. And I got curious and started scanning them, and pretty quickly had this feeling of like, it was actually like very emotional experience to so viscerally be confronted with just like the life of my community from a time before I was a part of it. So I was not alive back in 1976. I started scanning photos from 1976 because that's when that's when the box that I pulled out started. And yeah, so a Peterborough Summer 1976 is a photo exhibit that I am putting on at Dreams of Beans Cafe this August. It's going to open on August 7th, on First Friday. And it's a selection of photos that I've curated that represent what Peterborough looked like, according to these photos anyway, in 1976. So it's photos of people engaging in various forms of leisure, and they look very similar to what we do at summertime these days, like it's skateboarding, going to festivals, swimming, things like that.
Sure. So you mentioned that this just kind of caught your interest while you were volunteering with the TVA. Like, why this project specifically? What was it about the Examiner or, you know, these photos that really caught your attention?
So I'm a journalist, and so I was drawn to like the Peterborough Examiner archives in particular, just because I like seeing how journalism has changed, and I am a really firm believer and appreciator of the way that journalism and journalists capture the life of a community and store it for posterity. I think I was also attracted to the negatives because they are literally like sitting alone in boxes on row upon row of like big heavy metal shelves to hold them because they're so heavy in a portable outside of town. So they had this like feel of like being abandoned.
Right.
And so I had this like, oh, there's like a treasure hunt that could, that, that could happen here. I want to kind of see what's in these. Yeah, so that was exciting to me. I also like, I'm an amateur photographer, so I was interested in that. Yeah, those are some of the things that, that drew me to the project.
And what does the process of digitizing these photos, what does that look like?
So all of the photos are stored in little brown on, not brown envelopes. They're stored in like archival sleeves that to protect negatives, which is not the way that the examiner gave them to the archives. The examiner gave them to the archives in little brown envelopes, which is how they've been stored for 50 years. So when photographers took pictures on film in the 70s, they would be developed in the, I actually don't know whether the darkroom was on the premises, but I'm pretty sure it was in the examiner office at the corner of Hunter and Water streets. They would be developed nearly immediately because so that an editor could choose, okay, which of these photos are we going to put in the newspaper tomorrow, right, or even tonight. And then the ones that weren't, well, all the photos were then stored in a little envelope with a little, just like quite quick, hastily drawn notes about what they depicted. And then, you know, since my feeling of what happened is since there were multiple rolls of film coming in every single day, you know, yesterday's photos got forgotten very quickly. And so they amassed what, you know, Elwood Jones, the archivist at TVA, estimates as 500,000 negatives. So there's a, that's another thing that drew me to the project is the sheer insanity of even trying. Like, it's like, this is like a Sisyphean task of I've calculated that it would take me like hundreds of years at my current pace to scan them all.
Right, because like I've followed this project through your Instagram story because periodically you have posted pictures of some of the negatives that you're scanning.
Mm-hmm.
And like generally speaking, my impression is that you will do, if you're lucky, a day over the course of one weekend, right?
Yep.
And there is a whole year's worth, well, years plural worth of these photographs.
Yeah, I've been doing it for more than 2 years and I've gotten through almost 2 months worth of photos. So July and August 1976 is what I've accomplished.
And hence that being the focus, I guess, of the exhibit, right? Being a practical consideration as opposed to just...
Yeah.
A matter of interest.
And I only noticed a few months ago that, like, oh, this is actually 50 years ago exactly. That's convenient.
Right.
So that's another reason why I decided, oh, now is the time. I don't want to be keeping these a secret.
Right.
I want to share these with more people than those that follow me on my private Instagram account.
Sure, yeah. You had kind of an initial exhibition at the second Saturday sale this past weekend.
Yep.
You know, they shut down George Street, and you were one of the people with a booth on George Street with, like, you had this awesome kind of mobile gallery set up on a piece of construction fencing.
Mm-hmm.
With a bunch of frames hung on it.
Yep.
What was the reception like for, you know, these photos that you had dredged up?
Yeah, I thought it would be fun to kind of pop up in the community so that people could discover the photos even if they didn't know they were looking for them. And so I'm going to pop up at a couple of community events so that people can find them that way. The reception was really good. Interest in local history is big. I think it's like, I don't know, people are curious about it. It connects everyone in a way that really like transcends political difference in a nice way too. Like, it's very easy to talk to anyone about local history.
Sure.
So I found it very nice to chit chat with people. You know, obviously there was a part of me that was hoping that someone would come and say, that's me. But that didn't happen. And I'm not sure that it will. Although my mom did recognize someone in one of the photos at one point earlier. People really liked it. They like the pictures that I think draw the most interest are the ones where you can recognize the location, or I like the ones that have like a subtle hint as to location and that you actually kind of have to like work a little bit to figure out
right. Where
it is. I don't know. I talked to over 100 people, I think, on that day and just chatting about local history and memories and these beautiful photos.
Incredible. Well, you mentioned like the desires that someone might come up and be like, hey, that's me in this picture.
Yeah.
Like, what kinds of people are in these pictures that you're digitizing? Is it, you know, like mostly newsworthy, quote unquote, subjects, you know, like politicians, chiefs of police, whatever? Or is there also like just kind of regular folks mixed in?
It's almost all regular folks. Those, and that's a kind of a curatorial choice of mine. The photos that Examiner photojournalists took in the 70s are like quite similar to the ones you might see in the newspaper today, for the most part. They're pictures of political announcements, car crashes and house fires, you know, the openings of local businesses, 50th wedding anniversaries are a big one, that kind of thing. But then there's also sort of this like sort of slice of life, you know, everyday life in Peterborough photos that just kind of share, here's what it looked like in Peterborough yesterday. Here's, you know, so-and-so from such and such street on his skateboard. And those were the ones that I was drawn to for this exhibit. I think really because of the way they just felt more alive to me and more intimate and more relatable. So the photos in this exhibit are just of what seems to be everyday people living their life.
Right. Do you have like a favorite photo that you have exhibited so far? I recognize this isn't obviously a visual medium, but I'm curious as to like what sort of subjects you gravitate towards.
Let me think. There's a photo of two boys swimming that I really like. One is sitting on the inner tube and looking up at the camera so you can kind of see his face in full, and the other one is in the process of diving into the water behind him. I just like it because it captures like a very it captures a moment in time.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know. I like it like aesthetically. I like the shadows and the shadows and the highlights in it and all that. And I like in the background I have identified what used to be, or what was at that time, just about to become the Peterborough Art Gallery. So it's the photos taken on the T Wharf at Little Lake. And so I enjoyed the little process of, I was pretty sure from the beginning that that was the art gallery, but I also knew that that's not exactly what the art gallery looks like now. So I had to do some research to find out when the addition was put on. And so I was able to figure out, yeah, this is what the art gallery looked like before it became the art gallery in 78, I think. So that's one I like. I like the ones of the children. There's a beautiful photo of three children sitting on a blanket during the Arts and Water Festival, which is the precursor of Festival of Lights, which was the precursor of Music Fest. So they're sitting at what is now Del Curry Park, but at the time was called Point St. Charles Park. I don't know if they're sipping on juice boxes. I don't know if that was a thing in the 70s. But they're just like snacking and sipping on their drinks. And you can see the feet of the lawn chairs, 1970s lawn chairs, adults are sitting. But you can't see the adults themselves.
Oh, that's cool.
So I like that one. There's a picture of this child in like a really great outfit with in the middle of sipping from a Coke. And her other hand, she's holding a cob of corn. She's at the Peterborough X. And it's like, I appreciate that one from a fashion perspective because she just looks so rad, but also like, oh man, this kid is like living it up at the Peterborough X in her happy place. Really badass picture of a daredevil like riding a motorcycle over 8 parked cars.
Yes, I saw that one on Saturday.
Yeah, so that was the opening night of the Peterborough Exhibition in 1976. And the grandstand behind is just packed full of people.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is like, I think this is more a sense of nostalgia speaking, and maybe it's not true, but I do have this like sense, there's an expression of community life that I see in the photos that I wonder if we've lost. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if it's true because I actually I go around town now and I try to look at Peterborough in the same way that I'm looking at these old photos.
Right.
And like I see a lot of, I'm not sure that we've lost as much as I maybe thought at the beginning of this project. And I think it's important to know that like we acknowledge that like I think that probably there are a lot of communities in Peterborough that were excluded by the interest of the Examiner in the 1970s, right?
Yeah.
And I haven't done enough research to kind of figure that out exactly who's... So I think that I try to be critical about, like, you know, there are some choices being made by the Examiner about who deserves, you know, to be photographed and who deserves to be written about that we shouldn't forget about. So right. I try not to go too far with the nostalgia, but sometimes nostalgia just feels good. So I've been indulging in it.
Right. And I mean, when you're speaking about these photos, you have such a like rich understanding of the history behind them and the context in which they exist. I am sure that is a product of a lot of research on your part, but how much of it, when you're taking a photo and deciding that you want to display it, that you want to include it in your selection, because you do include, like, on Saturday you had a booklet that you were passing around that had, you know, contextual information about the photographs. Mm-hmm. How much of that is just, like, whatever you're able to glean from the Examiner archive, and how much of that is supplementary research that you're doing?
Most of it is just whatever I'm able to glean from the Examiner archive. A lot of the, like, so the vast majority of this collection, the photos were never published in the paper. And so we have not a lot of information to go on as to what they depict. If they were in the paper, then there's a good chance that there was like a caption or an article accompanying the photo where I can get some information from. So I've drawn information from there. And then sometimes I have done a little bit of supplementary research to figure out mostly things like, was that building there this year? Can I figure out where this location was? Things like that. But yeah, I think there's more to learn about the context of the photos that I would like to dive into deeper.
Right. And what, if any, kind of response have you gotten from the Peterborough Examiner? Has anyone from the Examiner been in touch with you about this project?
Not really, but I they might not know about it yet. So that's not necessarily their fault. So one of the very first photos I scanned was a photo of a Beetle car, a VW Beetle, with the Peterborough Examiner logo on it, getting some repairs done in the parking lot of PCVS. And I shared that with Joelle and Sebastian at the Examiner because I thought that was fun. I noticed that Joelle made it her the cover photo on her Blue Sky. So
yeah,
she likes it.
It's her banner image now. Yeah. It's really exciting. But speaking, you know, yeah, I think speaking to that sense of, I don't know, nostalgia, or I have no idea where I'm going with that, actually. Is there anything, do you think there's something about, like, the medium of film, because obviously these are film photographs, that makes us engage with them in a different way than we might, like, Examiner photos today?
Yeah, I think so. One is, so this doesn't exactly answer exactly what you asked, but I think that it just presents new opportunities for storage. I think that as physical objects, they weren't thrown out,
right?
And they had to
occupy actual physical space in the archive, even, like, you know, they're flat prints, obviously, like negatives are not massively space intensive, but nevertheless occupy physical space.
Yeah. So I guess I just have questions about the long-term preservation of digital-only photos.
Right.
50 years from now, when, you know, Facebook, God willing, doesn't exist anymore, you know, where are those photos going to be?
Right.
And 50 years from now, like, who knows what the internet's going to be like in 50 years from now?
Yeah. If there's going to be an internet.
What's, you know, if the Examiner's photos currently are stored in a digital space, you know, it's very easy for a switch to get flicked and for them to be lost. I happen to know that Clifford, the Examiner photographer now is, cares about preserving his photos. He actually says he's planning to donate his photos to the Trent Valley Archives when he retires.
Oh, wow.
Now, I don't know what that looks like I don't know how that gets operationalized, because the TVA doesn't really have a lot of digital artifacts. And having been there a lot, I can say they don't really have a lot of, like, digital infrastructure.
Sure.
So I don't know how that's going to work. So there's something, like, easier and lower barrier about holding on to something physical. Yeah, but as for, like, does it resonate with people in different ways? I don't know. I don't know. You're the cultural studies major.
I mean, there probably is something to that. It's a photochemical process. It obviously takes light differently. But I don't want to get too deep into like the Susan Sontag of it all, like whether right. or not photography is an act of violence. I think what I'm more interested in is when you were at Currents, you were, even in articles that you weren't writing, one of the principal photographers mm-hmm. and were taking photos on film, right? On occasion?
Just once. Just for an article about local film photographers.
Okay. But nevertheless, you know, were taking photographs that had a very intentional, like, composition to them.
Yeah.
Like, I still think of photos from your tenure have a very, like, rich quality to them. I think of all the photos you took inside Yee's, like, yeah, across the street yeah. here. They're gorgeous, right? Yeah. How much of your work was informed by this, like, photographic practice? How important was that to you as a journalist? And when did it become important, if it did?
Yeah, I've been interested in photography for most of my life. I think that there's something that photography can do in terms of like capturing, I was going to say the essence of something, but I think that is a little bit too flighty. Mm.
Like a dimension of something.
Yeah.
Because the medium I'm working in, I don't think that radio or audio can fully capture the complete dimensions of a story, but it captures a different dimension to print.
Yeah.
Right? The voice that you hear on the radio when it's not just me talking, when it is someone who I'm interviewing for a story, is necessarily not mine, and that is something novel mm. to that medium, as opposed to like print journalism.
Yeah. And I think to follow up on your question about the difference between digital and film, I think that, you know, the intensive process of dealing with film is helps to ground you and to remind you of the miracle of a photograph sometimes, mm. of a photograph that really reveals someone in their element or captures some piece of the world before it fades away. And I think that digital photography can do that just as well. I think that we sometimes just take it for granted and don't slow down enough to notice it's happening. And I think maybe film photography, just by forcing you into a set of practices that slow you down,
sure,
help you to realize it more easily.
Yeah. I'm gonna take that clip and I'm going to take it to my editors and say, this is why you need to buy me a film camera for,
yeah, okay.
for assignments. We need to set up a dark room, turn a blackout Studio B and start developing photos there. Yeah. But I think in closing, I just wanted to talk about, you know, you're working at the Narwhal now,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, you've worked in local media and in journalism for a long time. Most of your life and probably all of my life.
Maybe.
Possibly. How is that? And like, how would you sort of trace the trajectory of your career?
How would I trace the trajectory of my career?
It's a loaded question.
Yeah, I'm happy to talk about it, but can you give me a more specific question?
Yeah, I guess first off, how did you know, why the shift from Currents to the Narwhal?
Oh, that was just about money. I was just tired of not making any money, and I decided that I spent 5 years working on an independent local news website and put a lot of myself into it and loved it while I was doing it. But coming up to the five-year mark, in concert with a conversation I had with Ryan from the T-Talk, mm-hmm. where he was kind of wrapping up T-Talk after more than 10 years. And
sure,
I could just tell from my conversation with him that he went on too long.
Right.
And went on too long making personal sacrifices to keep the project alive. And I decided, now it's been 5 years for me. I don't want to hang on too long and continue to make very real personal sacrifices to keep the project alive.
Right.
And so I got a job elsewhere that pays me more. And comes with a lot less stress and responsibility. But I really miss doing journalism in Peterborough. But part of what this photography project is about is trying to find some new ways of still contributing to the community, still sharing stories, still animating the community, but reimagining how I do that.
Right. It's like still being involved in a way, even if you're not necessarily working or reporting directly for the community.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like you're giving yourself over to Peterborough completely? Like you give it more than it gives you?
No. I get a lot from living in this community. You know, from some chats we've had on the internet lately, that sometimes I've had these recent experiences where I go to Toronto and I see the vibrancy of the big city, and then I come back to Peterborough and I'm like, why do I live in this backwater? You know, when you started this conversation, you were talking about my forays into things such as community theater and journalism. Sure. And skateboarding, and now this photo project, and there are other examples. And I think that though that kind of like trajectory where I'm just kind of trying a little bit of everything is made possible in this little community, and is a lot harder in big cities. And I there's a lot of opportunity here that I appreciate.
Yeah, that is definitely something that I have noticed in my time in Peterborough, because obviously I come from Ottawa. Ottawa is not a huge city, but bigger than here by no small margin. And as much as I complain a lot about knowing everyone here and having to constantly bump into people who I know, like literally anywhere I go,
mm-hmm.
at the grocery store, at Blue Streak Records, mm-hmm. at Takeover Books. I mean, of course, part of the thing is that it's all people that share the same interests as me. So, like, you're going to bump into a person you know at the record store if you buy records a lot. But that's nice, too. And that's something you don't really get elsewhere.
Yep.
Any closing thoughts before we wrap up?
No, I guess I'll just remind people that the show opens on August 7th, the evening of August 7th at Dreams of Beans and at Dreams of Beans Cafe. And it will be there all throughout all of August after that. I think I would add that if any of this piques your interest, you know, the archives are just sitting there waiting for other projects such as this.
You can be the next Will Pearson.
No, you got to be yourself.
You can
do something cool at the archives too.
Okay. Well, Will, thank you so much for joining me here on Switchboard this week. It's been a pleasure talking to you. As always, you are one of my favorite people to talk to in the city, because you just have such a deep passion for it and the things that you do, and such an unending curiosity. So thank you so much for being here.
Thanks a lot, Evan. That was nice talking to you.
My pleasure. You've been listening to Switchboard, broadcasting to you through the facilities of Trent Radio CFFF FM 92.7 in Peterborough, Ontario, Canada. My name is Evan Robbins. I am Trent Radio's full-time broadcast journalist through the Local Journalism Initiative, and you can find me here every week at 5 p.m. and always on news.trentradio.ca.